Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Good evening, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, December 2nd, and for the second offseason in a row, a Russell Westbrook trade has triggered the emergency podcast bat signal. Here we are. So much for that vacation, boys. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Basketball, what are you doing? You are drunk. Go home.
We've also got the Southern lawyer himself, Trey Kirby.
We got ourselves a trade.
Oh, we do indeed. We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Yeah, listen, guys, we're going to have to move this along because, I mean, I record in my son's bedroom and it's past his bedtime. You can see the the bedroom wall, so I had to kick him out. So we're going to have to move along with this one.
Okay, we'll make it quick. And making the magic happen here tonight, JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Yes, the Houston Rockets have reached a deal to send Russell Westbrook to the Washington Wizards tonight. It just happened, in exchange for John Wall and a future first round draft pick. Now, according to Woj, both general managers hadn't talked in weeks on this deal because there were rumors floating around about this one, but they connected this afternoon and had a deal done within a few hours, Tass. I mean, this, like, as many have pointed out on Twitter, it screams like fantasy basketball trade. It's like, I don't know. I don't like this guy anymore. You like that guy you got? No? You want to swap him? All right. I mean, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, and is Russell Westbrook going to get traded every stinking offseason or what? It's weird. Then you start thinking about the basketball part of it, mm-hmm. and then you start talking yourselves into the Washington Wizards being a playoff team. And I'm buying it. I think there's no question that they won this trade as far as basketball goes, because I think we should talk a little bit about actual basketball. And Westbrook is the better player. He played last year. He was an all-star. He was a really, really good player. And I think he can work with Bradley Beal really, really well. Throw some shooters around them in Davis Bertans, Rui Hachimura, not quite a shooter, but Thomas Bryant is a really underrated center. You start talking yourselves into it, but at the same time, I think it doesn't guarantee that Bradley Beal is going to stick around there. Like, the Rocket situation right now, John Wall, James Harden, and DeMarcus Cousins, those are the ingredients for an implosion. You can't be excited about that. I think you can be excited about the Wizards, but at the same time, a 32-year-old Russell Westbrook, as you just said, he was traded 12 months ago. Does that mean that he's going to be good in a year from now, a year and a half from now? He was injured in last year's postseason. Does this ensure Bradley Beal sticks around? And if he doesn't, they just gave up a first-round pick for Russell Westbrook, and they gave up their franchise guy who Washington absolutely adores in John Wall for him. So right now, I think the Wizards win this trade, hands down. But I'm kind of leaning towards the Wizards losing this trade in a couple of years, because I don't think this ensures that they're going to be sticking around. They're going to make Bradley Beal stick around. But who wants to talk about basketball? Everybody just wants to talk about the strip clubs in Houston and all that. I mean, people are just excited about this.
You can't go to a strip club right now.
Oh, yes, you can.
Jeez, what's going on?
Absolutely, you can.
Oh, my God. There's still a pandemic, people. Don't be going to the strip club. I'm fearful when I go to the dog park, for crying out loud, let alone the strip club. Well, what do you think, Trey? Let's go to you next here. Who won this trade? What are your reactions to this Westbrook-Wall deal here?
Well, Skeets, I like the way you put it, how it's a fantasy basketball trade. Sometimes you just got to mix it up. And yep. Maybe Tass is right. Maybe Russell Westbrook does get traded every offseason now. And, you know, Chris Paul, it feels like, is in that mix as well. Maybe now we're adding John Wall to the mix. You're all pointing at each other, the Spider-Man meme. You've got a huge contract and you're a point guard. You've got a huge contract and you're a point guard. Let's see what's happening. Maybe we'll just do an emergency podcast about a week before this season starts, no matter what the season. But for me, the Wizards do win this, and I'm feeling a little bit like Tass as well. You're talking yourselves into them. At least they're going to be exciting. The Wizards were right there in the playoff chase last year. They botched it 100% in the bubble, somehow finished behind the Hornets, but, you know, they were there in the ninth seed despite playing without John Wall the entire season. It has seemed like his tenure there in Washington was over to begin with, so they're upgrading, getting Russell Westbrook, and yeah, maybe they will regret the first-round pick eventually, but I don't know. It seemed like they were ready to move on from John Wall, and this is a decent upgrade. In the Eastern Conference, I think that this definitely makes the Wizards a playoff team, or at the very least, they're in the play-in tournament, the 7 through 10 spot. Right, you know, I would put them more on the 7 side of things rather than the 10, but we'll see how it plays out.
What do you think, Lee? Westbrook, Beal, Rui, Bertans, and then like Tass, like a Thomas Bryant as your big, maybe even a Robin Lopez, whoever's splitting minutes there. Is that enough to make the playoffs in the East? And does that even count?
Well, I mean, God, if they can't make the playoffs in the East with that lineup, then it's a complete disaster, because the Wizards have been a disaster and they've kind of flown under the radar the last few years, really, that they haven't been anywhere near competing in the Eastern Conference. Now, Westbrook, just simply because he plays and John Wall hasn't played for basically 2 years, means the Wizards should improve. And again, Westbrook's that type of guy. He'll win you 10 games of his own, but he might lose you 10 as well.
He'll probably lose you in a playoff series, yeah.
Yeah, so, but the Wizards, yeah, I mean, but you know, when there's a minor trade in the NBA, sometimes we just go, oh, it's like for like. It doesn't really move things around too much. Well, this is a major trade that's kind of like for like, because it doesn't really improve the Wizards enough. I mean, if it gets them into the playoffs, that's still not enough for a team that really has aspirations on trying to compete in the Eastern Conference. So they need to be significantly better, and I don't think they are significantly better. But again, Westbrook has played in the last couple of years and John Wall hasn't. And now everyone in Washington the last couple of days was saying, oh, John Wall looks great. He's fast. He's got his speed back and he's still quick. He looks like he hasn't missed a game. But that does not always necessarily mean it's going to be that way once he gets out there and plays. So, yeah, this does definitely feel like both general managers just sort of looked at each other, shrugged their shoulders and said, yeah, okay, I'll do it if you want to do it. And give us a first round pick, the Rocket said. All right, sure, why not? What the hell? Let's do it. You know, let's just do it, because as Trey sort of said there, sometimes you just got to let's just get some new players and just see what we can do. Because otherwise the outlook, I think, for the Wizards this season was pretty bleak. Even though John Wall was coming back, I just don't see them improving enough in the Eastern Conference to be considered a real contender.
Tass, do you think, well, I guess you've already answered this. You think this doesn't really help the Wizards' chances of keeping Beal happy or around for the long term, in your opinion? Is that fair?
Short term, it does. I think he's going to be happy playing with Russell Westbrook. I just don't know how it's going to work long term. Mm-hmm. Russ is 32, and everybody really, really jumped on that Bradley Beal quote-unquote extension last year and said, oh, he's going to be a Wizard for life. It was a 1+1, a 1 year guaranteed plus a player option. That doesn't mean you're going to stick around, and you can sign a 5 year deal.
I was going to say, you can sign a supermax and then demand a trade like everybody does now. I mean, both of these guys that were just traded tonight basically did that, right?
Yeah. So I just don't know what it means long term. I think this year, right now, Russell Westbrook on the floor over John Wall in a heartbeat. Russell Westbrook back with Scottie Brooks as his head coach. They should be good. But honestly, I do think that, even going back to James Harden, Russell Westbrook had played with James Harden. They had a relationship. I'm scared for Houston. I just, James Harden is sort of at his wit's end. Now he's going to play with a guy who's never played with in John Wall. He had that rapport. And now Cousins is here. He's giving you the side eye emoji on Twitter. Like, I just don't know how that locker room is going to work out. I mean, that is the experiment I want to watch. It's going to be real, real interesting. To me, it means I think James Harden is closer to leaving. But those are two guys that obviously need the ball in their hands at all times. You know, Westbrook he had a buddy in James Harden. So I don't know what's going to happen there whatsoever. But I think this year, yeah, I can definitely talk myself into Russ and all those dudes in Washington being pretty good. Russ wearing zero like he's Gilbert Arenas. I think that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be the most fun Wizards team since the Gilbert Arenas era, I would imagine. I mean, they're going to give up 170 points, but maybe some nights they'll score 175. It'll be an even more professional version of what we saw last year. So At the very least, they'll be entertaining. If you're going to be bad, at least be fun to watch.
Mm. Is it too late to add Rockets Wizards to the Christmas Day schedule?
Ooh, yeah.
Would you like to watch that at 2:30?
Oh, yeah. 2:30 a.m.? Sure.
No, no, yeah. Why not? Oh, just add a sixth game? Yeah, super, super late. Make it Rockets Wizards. Yeah, this, I don't know. I mean, I guess I agree with you guys. Like, it's interesting when you look at the Eastern Conference this offseason, right? You've had a lot of these teams that were not in the playoffs, sort of like appearing to go like all in on making the playoffs. And what I mean by that is, like, okay, the Wizards are pulling off this. Now, John Wall doesn't probably want to be there, just like Westbrook didn't want to be in Houston. So the GMs just went, all right, well, I'll give you my disgruntled point guard for your disgruntled point guard, and we'll just see if it works. But they're obviously going to try and be good and get into the playoffs. The Hawks, same thing. I mean, obviously signing some guys, like actually doing something here to put some more talent around Trae Young and John Collins, getting Bogdanovich and Gallinari were their big, big deals. The Hornets, I mean, they go out and just throw a boatload of money at Gordon Hayward to make him their star guy and hope that he can get them into the play. Like, we got all these teams. I mean, even the Pistons with all their crazy moves, like, who's the crappy team in the Eastern Conference? I mean, there will be some, but it's like the Cavs?
Shameful, Knicks. Man. Shameful. You didn't even bring up the Bulls.
Oh, the Bulls.
That's how
yeah.
forgettable no, their offseason has been. That was one of the first things I thought of this. Yet another team that is guaranteed to be ahead of the Bulls, but
yeah,
that's why I like that's honestly, that's why I like this for the Wizards. I just wanted the Bulls to do something. Sometimes it's nice to see your team do something and try and change it up. Our big change this year for the Bulls in the front office and on the bench, which hopefully is a massive improvement, but we shall see. That being said, if they tank it, okay.
What if, okay, Lee, John Wall, let's say he comes back. Now, it's probably rare, but he comes back and he's playing like 2017 John Wall. Is that version better than current Westbrook? You know, and I know you said it's like for like. They're very similar. I mean, they obviously have their shooting limitations. They're both explosive guys. They're some of the best in transition, you know, ISO. But, like, where would you, you know, again, this is pre-injury John Wall.
Yeah,
I know it's difficult, but he was a damn good player, man. I mean,
he's
a five-time All-Star. He was incredible.
Yeah.
And now to a sort of a Westbrook, as Tass has pointed out, a bit older. Like, not that Wall hasn't aged over this time, too. It's not like when you get injured, you don't age at all. I don't think that's a thing that happens. But what do you think?
Well, the problem with John Wall is I can't really see him playing off the ball because he's not a great shooter. He's not a spot-up shooter. He's not the guy you can sit in the corner and he's going to knock down threes. Now, maybe he's been working on that in the last couple of years that he's been out, but playing with James Harden, James Harden's going to have the ball in his hand 90% of the time.
Right,
so
right.
Wall can attack the paint. If he has got that speed, he can do that. He can get to the free throw line perhaps. But from everything I've seen, and you're right, John Wall has been a very, very good player. He's improved a lot throughout his career, but he's never really developed a reliable distance jump shot, whether that's a mid-ranger or a three-pointer. So how that's going to sort of gel there with James Harden is going to be interesting. I mean, he's going to get his time, I guess, sort of almost like those staggered minutes where he'll come out when James Harden's resting and that's when he can be the point guard. But otherwise, in the system right now, just what I'm envisioning, John Wall's going to be a shooting guard. And that doesn't really seem to sort of gel with what we've seen from him throughout his career. So going to be a challenge there for Steve Silas. So, I mean, wow, what a...
Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
Steve.
But, you know, I mean, someone Steve like a Mike Silas. D'Antoni.
Did Steve tell you that, perchance?
Maybe a Mike D'Antoni, you know, he can get sometimes those crazy combinations to work. But, you know, we obviously don't know anything with Steve Silas. But that's going to be the thing. I mean...
Is it Scott Brooks and Steve Silas now? Or...
Why, what's his name?
It's Steve. I think he's a Steven. I think you kind of got to go Steven. Okay. You got to go Scotty.
Let's wait till the season really starts before he determines if he's a Steve or a Steven or a Steve-o. Maybe he's a Steve-o.
Wow.
Come on, man. It's Steven season, baby.
Anyway, the point is, I mean, that's just the way I look at John Wall. I think, you know, if he can return to that player, then that's incredible for Houston. That is incredible. But how is that player going to sort of show himself in Houston? That's the real question for me because he's been the Wizards point guard for his entire career, which is, what, 10 seasons now?
Yeah,
and has anyone really ever seen John Wall and felt comfortable with him shooting the ball, like in a you know really consistent role? Like Beal, maybe with James Harden, could work in that sense because he can shoot. But, you know, yeah, a little shout-out to Bradley Beal here.
We see it. The stream teamers see your Washington Wizards shirt.
But, you know, at the end of the day, that's wasn't really taken into account by the Rockets. It was more just like, Westbrook doesn't want to be here. Let's just take on Wall. Their contracts are basically the same, and let's just hope that he's back to his best.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
There is so much money, like, exchanging teams here for very little players, right? Like, two players. Wall is on the books for $40.8 million this year, $43.8 million next year, and then he holds a $46.9 million player option in 2022-23. Westbrook is going to make $41 million this season, $43.8 million next season, and then he has a player option in 2022-23 for $46.7 million. That's a lot of money there, Tass. Sorry, I interrupted you there. I just had to get those numbers out there because they're staggering when you look at them, man. That's insane. It's like countries here.
and they're similar. And I think there's people pointing out that Tillman Fertitta is saving some minor money here, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars per year. But
sure,
hundreds of thousands of dollars per year could factor into this decision. You know, when you look at the basketball part, John Wall, yes, not a shooter, but Russell Westbrook, also not a shooter. And it worked out pretty well there for a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm more concerned.
That was under Coach Michael D'Antoni, though.
Mick D'Antoni.
They need to bring in Danny D'Antoni to help out. I'm just more concerned about the locker room. Who wants to be there? Kelly Eco of The Athletic, with that article, it was who knows how long things were written ago, or a long time has passed here, but that was about the Houston Rockets scenario where PJ Tucker wasn't happy, James Harden wasn't happy, everybody down the line isn't happy. You bring in DeMarcus Cousins, you bring in John Wall,
Christian Wood,
hey, I'm interested to see. Robert Covington is out, who was a glue guy there. I just don't know how it's all going to shake down. Forget about basketball, just in terms of the locker room. And James Harden has been there for, now this is going to be, what, year nine for him there. It's hard to get past the locker room thing for me to even start thinking about basketball. Because are they going to gel? Are these guys going to like each other? It just seems like it was sort of the end, and this is a move by Raphael Stone in the front office to just get a pick and start to replenish that cupboard that was bare when Daryl Morey left, because he traded for Russell Westbrook and he traded a billion picks for him. And maybe they picked up the phone and decided to call Washington today, because there is a report by Adam Spolane, covers the Houston Rockets for Sports Radio 610. He reported that Russell Westbrook didn't show up for camp.
Right.
And James Harden did. And so maybe he said, well, you know, this might be smart. Raphael Stone may have made a smart decision to get on the phone and say, hey, this is going to be real bad. But if we can beat, the media to the punch that they're interviewing today, they're interviewing not even James Harden, but although he did report, they're interviewing everybody else. They're interviewing Gerald Green. I think it was PJ Tucker as well. It's just crazy that training camps are happening. So anyways, I think they may have just said, let's cut our losses here. Let's get a pick and let's watch this psychological experiment go, baby. I don't know what the heck is going to happen in Houston.
You just blew my mind, though. Hold on. Your GM is Stone. You signed a free agent named Wood.
Right.
And you just traded for a guy named Wall.
Build that foundation, baby.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. The construction Rockets. They're building something. Yeah, exactly. Oh, they make Boylan the coach. Punch in. Get the punch clock.
That's Steve's next big move.
I think I'm going to go on the record now. I think
Frank Brankowski's got to be there.
I think Harden's gone. I think he's gone.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my question, actually, to Tass. So you think, does this mean Harden reportedly wanted out too?
Yeah.
And then the Rockets come out and said, well, no, we're not doing that. We're going to be competitive with him and all that. But like, That could be just them saying that. So you think this is more likely that he's gone as well?
Yeah, my mind was made up when I saw a quote from Steve Nash this morning that said he's not interested in adding any players to his roster. He likes the players he's got right now and he wants to move forward with that team. Words to that effect. Basically saying the trade's happening, but I can't say anything about it right now.
Oh, interesting.
That's the way I read it. Because
reading
you
those
know,
tea leaves.
Well, it's the same with Tommy Shepard, who said, I believe, even as recently
please,
as yesterday.
Please, call him Tom.
he said, you know, like, I'm not trading John Wall. I have no plans on trading him. So we know all that stuff is all smoke and mirrors and that all the time. But ultimately, I really don't think James Harden looks at this situation and sees he can win a championship in Houston. But if he goes to Brooklyn, I think that opens things up a little bit more. So I think whether or not he will come out publicly and say he wants a trade, I don't think he'll do that. I think behind the scenes he'll say, though, yep, trade me, guys. Send me to a championship contender. Because, again, I think the Nets actually, with all the little pieces they can throw back to Houston, it's not a bad little haul there for Houston. If you can get LeVert, perhaps a Dinwiddie, perhaps Jared Allen as well, some good young pieces there. I mean, you know, you basically are starting to rebuild. So you can get them, and I'm not sure exactly what the Nets' picks are situation right now, but I'm sure if they could, get another first or a couple of seconds out of it, then for the Rockets, that's not a bad return.
What do you think about that, Trey? Is Harden more likely to be, you know, shipped before we even start the season here or before the deadline? What do you think?
I assume he's gone at the very latest the deadline, I would imagine, before the season, but I don't know. He did report for camp. That's a little bit of an odd thing, but I wonder if that is part of the plan, trading Harden, and then with Wall now in town, he should allegedly get along with Boogie Cousins. They played together in college. They've been trying to get on the same team for quite some time now. So that they should mesh okay. And both of them are looking to sort of rebuild their reputation around the league, right? And enhance their trade value in the future. And maybe that's what the Rockets are trying to do, is get these distressed assets, build them back up a little bit so they can move them out, recoup some of that draft capital. And in the meantime, at least you have a product to put on the floor. You're trading away Russell Westbrook and James Harden, but at least you're bringing in a couple of players that people know their names. That does help a little bit, right, for a team that has been competitive for the better part of two decades.
Yeah, and again, I mean, if Harden's on your team and he's healthy for the good chunk of the season, like, your team is just not going to be bad. He just doesn't allow an offense to be bad, so you're going to win a lot of games for the most part with just him, let alone, like you said, Wall and Cousins, hopefully giving you something, even Wood for that matter. So, yeah, I don't know where I have the Rockets in my Western Conference, like, sort of playoff tier, though, Tass. I don't know where you're, like, are they still, like, a team vying for home court advantage? Are they just scraping into the playoffs? Are they out? Yeah, sounds like you're more to the bottom end of the playoff race.
Yeah, they're mixing it up in the playoffs. I think, you go a couple
Harden's
Lakers,
too good.
Couple Los Angeles teams at the forefront, then your Nuggets, then it's your Jazz Blazers. And then the Rockets can be lumped in with a couple teams down there. But, you could easily see them in the playoffs, but you could also see them in the play-in tournament. I guess the Rockets media and Rockets fans will be spinning it like traded with all those positive, the names. it does sort of look on paper like they can be good if Christian Wood is what he was in Detroit last year. That's a start to a defense with PJ Tucker and a bunch of those big names as well. James Harden, if he wants to get you into the playoffs, he can get you into the playoffs.
It is
frickin' James Harden. So but my worry is, as we've all said, does James Harden really truly want to be there? It just feels like they're inching towards blowing this up. But as Trey said, it would be really, really smart to make all these guys appealing for a few months here before the trade deadline comes. If there's a trade deadline in the middle of the season, that's usually when it happens. But I don't know. It's 2020. Maybe there isn't one this year. I don't know.
Maybe you can just, there is no deadline. You can just trade right up until the playoffs for all we know. It is wild. Yeah. Okay. Well, anything else to add to this? Lily, I know your son's got to get into his bedroom there and go to bed. I love that you use your son's bedroom as your podcasting studio.
Nah, he's all right, actually. Like, anytime he gets to stay up late, he'll be fine. So I'll go downstairs. He'll be like just running around the house going, nah, Dad's fine. I'm cool.
Right.
Yeah, so
he was pumped with this trade.
Oh yeah, he loved it. Because we were literally like, okay, hop into bed, and then I was like, oh, hang on a minute, let me just check this. And then I said, I said to my wife Roxana, can you actually just take the boys for a few minutes? I'm just gonna do a pod. I'll be done in 10 minutes. Yeah.
gotcha.
I actually did like the very, like, okay, so it pops up on Twitter. I had been scrolling on it just at the time that, you know, it gets, I think Woj was the first to break it, and then Shams is confirming it. And I did, I gotta admit, I was like, nah, this has got to be the fake Woj. This has got to be a Woj with three J's, or, you know, an ASPN or something like that. I really double, triple checked to make sure, like, oh my God, Woj is saying this is a done deal here. And then I think it was Trey or Tass sharing it in the Slack. I was like, oh my God, we got ourselves an emergency pod here. I mean, it's so silly. It's just such a silly trade. It's like, I'm excited for it. I don't know what to really expect. They are similar players if Wall can bounce back from his injuries, which, I mean, again, like, this guy signs the Supermax in 2017. And then he just, like, injury after injury. He's played 73 games, Lee, in the past three seasons.
Wow.
That's it, right? I mean, 41 games, undergoes knee surgery, and then the following year, the torn Achilles, after playing only like 32 games or whatever the heck it was, and then is out for the entire 2019-20 season. So, I forget John Wall. I mean, it's sort of like, honestly, I don't even really know what to expect from him at all. You just like go back to like the cool John Wall moments in his like, you know, some successful Wizards years there, where they were obviously in the playoffs and winning some playoff rounds. So, yeah, this was just a wild one, but I love it. I love
ask,
it.
Ask Lee a question. Ask Lee a question. Let's just keep him on for a little bit. Yeah, his kids have to go to bed. And that
How's your vacation been, Lee? So
it's been exactly the same every single day for the last 6 months. Or how long have we been in this? 8 months? 9 months? Look how long my hair is.
Look at that. Michael Douglas. It's flowing, buddy.
Oh, there it is, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. We haven't done a podcast since what, last week? I mean, it feels like actually
a week today, I guess. Yeah,
days of John Wall playing basketball. Yeah,
exactly. But you're right, Lee. I mean, I'm like on you know, Monday, I was like, we're on vacation, but maybe we just talk to the guys, fire it up, talk about some minor basketball thing. You know, the Christmas Day schedule got released. I was like, I'd like to talk to Trey about that. You know, fire it up.
Zion to debut. What a push.
I think my Christmas schedule is better, by the way. They just used a lot of those games for the opening night. So
The thing. We get Nets Warriors opening night in Brooklyn. That's fantastic. That's what I was excited for on Christmas Day, and surprised we didn't get it. But better that we get it on the first night. We want to get that game underway. That's going to be great.
Okay. Better the first night than the fourth night. That's what I always say.
Yeah. By the fourth night of the season, this guy's checked out. He's like, I've seen enough. I know he's going to win.
Lakers again.
Lee, I know you like the consecutive playoff streak stat. The Rockets own it right now, eight years, and John Schumann brought it up here. I'm just happy that if the Rockets don't make the playoffs this year, the Raptors are going to own that streak, baby, because they're second.
Yeah, well, the Raptors
would have to make it, right? What are the Raptors at, seven?
Yeah, but the Raptors own the longest playoff streak with actually winning a series as well. I will say that. So, because the Rockets got swept, or not swept, but lost in the first round a couple of times. The Raptors.
Yeah, hang the banner, buddy. I think
the Raptors are up to six consecutive seasons of winning a playoff series, I believe. That's right. Because
they got straight playoff series?
I believe that's right, yeah.
So you're saying they own the record for the current team that has one playoff series.
At least one playoff series.
Yeah. Consecutive years.
Yeah. 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 Nice. Yeah.
At six. Nice. That makes sense.
I believe that's right. Six. Although,
but yeah, they're second in terms of just making playoffs.
Yeah. Six
as well.
Of seven, I believe.
hang on.
City
a minute,
of Champions.
I think I'm having a deja vu.
They lost to the Wizards. They lost to the Wizards.
Yeah. They got swept by the Wizards.
Yeah, what year was that?
I thought that was after the Nets.
It was. Yeah. So
that doesn't make sense then.
No, it was no. LeBron. When was LeBronto? That was 2017, wasn't it? Or was that 2018?
I think 2018.
Oh God, who knows? Who cares? I know the Raptors have got it anyway. The Raptors have got that streak. If someone shooms, I don't know if you're still around, man. Check it out.
Five straight years with a series win for the Raptors, per John Schumann.
There you go.
Five straight. Okay, but Schumes, I know you will actually be there. But that is still the current, record, though, Schumes, I believe. That is the current streak.
The active record.
Only on an emergency podcast are we getting live Will Actuallys right here in the stream from Schumes. We're calling him Schumes now. And I guess Shum's kids, you know, they stay up a little bit late. He's in their bedroom, you know, watching the live stream and chatting away. Fantastic. This is actually really cool timing, this emergency podcast, because we wanted to thank everybody for sharing all of their Spotify wrapped up, like, most listened to podcasts of the year type things. You see those going around. Like, Spotify gives you the whole breakdown. What artists did you most listen to? What songs did you most listen to? And podcasts is one of them. My God, there's been a lot of you out there. Thank you so much to everyone that has shared it, at least, on Twitter and Instagram. No Dunks, all those classics coming through. I mean, we're at the top of the leaderboard for a lot of people. I mean, I shared a lot on our Instagram account, to the point now where it's just like the tiny little dots at the top. Now it's like really annoying for people, but thank you.
I clicked through every single one with my, I felt like, you know, the Grinch when his heart finally grows and his smile curls up and just slowly curling with every single story that added and added.
Do you know how long that took me to add all those stories? Oh my goodness.
I went through like the first third. I was like, good enough. Good enough.
Yeah,
looked like
did.
Ants. Skeet says no. We're going to amoebas. Makes it even smaller. That's great. I love it.
I felt like we had to thank everybody. I really, really appreciate it. That was awesome. And also, again, this is a great time. We were supposed to be on vacation. We took 2 weeks off, but we said if there was an emergency trade, big names got moved, we would do this. So we're a man of our word. But coming up early next week, all I want to say, if you need like a last minute sort of item to put wrap up and put under the Christmas tree, next week, baby, watch out. Make sure you follow us at No Dunks Inc. That's INC on Twitter and on Instagram, because we will be telling you when those little Christmas goodies will be available for sale. I think you are really gonna like these. That's all I'm gonna say right now, but that should be coming sometime next week, so keep an eye
out. Keep your eyes peeled for those items.
Yes.
Yes. Item watch.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Merch alert, baby. Anything else to add, guys? We can wrap this up. We can get Lee and his son to bed. I like to think that Lee goes to bed before his son does.
I will be tonight, for sure.
I'm trying. 9:20.
Yeah, but I've been up. I've been up since 6 o'clock this morning, man. You know
what
it's like.
Come on, you can go to sleep.
Yeah, just get in bed. Just get up and go to bed.
Well, this is where I sleep, actually, sometimes. You can see there. Like,
having problems with them?
Well, if he wakes up in the night, you know, or he sometimes gotcha. Sometimes I just wake up in the night and he's standing on my bedside. And he's just like, Dad, can you come and lie in my room for a bit?
Right. So,
yeah, sure.
And then you fall asleep and then you wake up and you're like, oh, time to get up. 6 o'clock.
Well, he sometimes does a little check on me to make sure I'm still there, and he just grabs my foot.
Wait, you sleep head to toe, like toe?
No. He's got like his like bed there, and then I've got the full mattress there, and he just sort of leans out.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were sharing the bed.
No. He just makes sure that I'm there the whole night, so he just grabs my foot every now and again.
I did think that was weird. In my head, I thought you were lying beside your son in the same bed, and for him to check on you, he would sort of crawl down the bed and squeeze your foot instead of tap your face. I thought that was strange. That makes more sense. Okay.
He just likes to know I'm there, so.
Yeah, we all like to know you're here, Lila. Fantastic stuff. All right, guys. JD, anything to add to this incredible night of emergency podcasting? Westbrook for Wall. Can you believe it, JD?
I can't believe it. I went searching for our interview with John Wall at the draft. I wanted to use that as the cold open. It was a mad scramble, but I just couldn't find it.
Is that one out there? I don't know.
It's got to be somewhere. Yeah. I didn't have ready access to it, so I did the emergency one instead. I'm binging the morning show right now. I just got Apple Plus or Apple TV, and
yep.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the alert that the trade happened, and I'm like, oh boy, here we go. I saw the Slack lineup.
You took a while to respond to Slack.
It was a critical moment in the show, Skeetsy. There was a crucial interview happening, and I was riveted. Oh. And I was like, this isn't happening. Is it happening? I know it's happening. I'm just going to deny it and deny it and deny it.
I thought we weren't getting a JD response.
I texted him. I said, hey, are you around? Are you getting these Slack messages?
Or was it because you're watching the morning show where you realized news never stops?
That's
man.
Exactly right. I was
Unless
inspired.
It's not the morning.
I just wanted to get back in the studio, guys.
Yeah.
Have you liked the morning show?
That's fine. It's good. It's, you know, it's a soap opera. I love soap operas.
Can't stop. Can't stop watching once you start.
Exactly. No,
have you watched Ted Lasso yet?
I have. Yeah. Great. Okay. Great. Yeah. Okay. It's good. The perfect show,
except for the theme song.
Yeah.
I hated it. I hated it. It didn't vibe with the show to me. I hated actually the whole opening sequence, like the seats. I didn't like it. Ooh, everything
Mumford
else,
without
amazing.
The Sons, no thanks.
Yeah, what's that?
That's Mumford without the Sons.
Yeah.
What was that?
It just didn't fit.
It just feels like at any theme you need at least to smack you in the face. Like, especially, it's like a rim shot of a joke. You have a cold open and then you need something, bam, hit me.
Yeah.
Not Mumford. You got to get the Sons in there if you're going to have Mumford and Sons. You know what I'm saying?
The only thing about that intro that's screaming hit me is the skip intro button.
Yeah.
Got him!
Got him for sure. Otherwise, a perfect television show.
It really is.
Outside of that, it's really good. Highly
so much heart.
Well, there's going to be a second season. I thought they'd just stop.
No, and a third. And a third. It's been accrued for two. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Lee, any interest in this?
Nah,
you'd love it. You would love it, Lee. You would love it.
Yeah, actually.
Is it a good time? Is it a good time to get in, JD?
It's a perfect time to get in.
Okay. We'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much for joining us either live here tonight on YouTube. Shout out to the stream team. We really appreciate you joining us live. Or if you're listening to this a little bit later tonight, or whenever you're downloading your No Dunks podcast. Again, thanks to everybody for sharing your Spotify love, I guess, is the best way to put it. Us cracking your top list there for your Wrapped Spotify. Really appreciate that as well. And we'll be back either with another emergency podcast or December 14th with our season preview shows. I still haven't wrapped my head around the season is about to start. We got the Christmas Day schedule. We got opening night now. But this is the thing that's about to kick off here again. So thank you so much, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
It's been fun. Thanks for joining us on this emergency. LiAngelo Ball is on the Pistons podcast.
No, we're recording that one next, Tess.
Yeah, we're recording back to back.
Brace the day, people. You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.